Looking for those diamonds in the dunghill, huh? That old black man, he knew a few things about protection dogs. You're staying in one's lane. Someone recently did a video about that. I didn't actually watch it. Someone sent me a link to it, but I didn't watch it. And that's fine. But yeah, you know, old Gypsy was a specialist, man. You know, it's just funny. I was thinking back when I was doing my little series, No Truth in Combat, and Ivan, I think he's a 3-time world champion, show dog, sport dog trainer, real good friends with Michael Ellis. All of these guys are great trainers. There's no doubt about that, man. But I remember watching, and I used a clip of his videos. I didn't even realize it was him, because that really wasn't the point. But I thought, man, that is really some sad protection work. So my point with that is that there's a lot of really good trainers out there, but they're not necessarily a specialist in a certain area. And Gypsy had those diamonds in the dunghill, man. You know, because you think about where is this stuff coming from, and you see all the mimicking, right? All the same type of sleeve happy, you know, even if you look like someone like Professor Hog Dog, who is kind of like the example of what not to do with protection dogs, you know, it seems his big test is, will the dog stay clinging to the sleeve, even if you're whipping it with sticks and whips, you know, and if it clings and hangs on, you know, in his world, that's a good dog there. Everything else is a cur, you know, just amazing what passes, you know, as expertise, and then to start preaching to other people about staying in their lane. And it's just funny, man. So, you know, there are, you know, I think about this. There seems this jack of all trades type concept. If we look at like the bushcraft world, and we look at the one tool option, is this concept where there's one knife that you'll use that'll do everything. It's a jack of all trades knives. And I kind of fell into that for a little while, and I had one of those types of knives. And I always found that I was putting it back in the sheath. Because it really wasn't good at anything in particular. And so if I was, you know, skinning animals or something, I was, you know, reaching for a $20 mora. If I was wanting to carve spoons, you know, I found other specialty knives to just totally blow away jack of all trade type stuff. So we see a lot of this on YouTube, just general trainers and who don't stay in their lane have what they call protection dogs. And, you know, one of Gypsy's messages was that those are not protection dogs. And, so I've had a little ongoing thing with Professor Hog Dog. It's funny, that he's got one of Gypsy's videos where it's titled Gypsy Speaks the Truth About Protection Dogs. And in the video, Gypsy outlines just about everything that Professor Hog Dog is doing, what you shouldn't do. Is the irony is incredible, you know. But he knew about dogs, man, and about protection dogs. And you know, I remember Sam was the son of Sam was what the dog's name was, a German Shepherd. My first I guess you can say encounter with a trained guard dog was my uncle Lou Marino. He's actually my great uncle, and his motorcycles and his wood tools and everything were getting stolen out of his garage all the time. So he went and he got a trained guard dog. See, it wasn't a personal protection dog or something that you take the Tractor Supply and stuff like that. That's like a YouTube concept, it seems. It was a guard dog, and I used to play with it. My mom was always like, oh my God. And Lou would be like, he's okay. And I'd play tug with that dog. You know, but if you came into that garage or you came into that yard without Lou being around, you know, it was game over. serious ass dog. And I also think of this other dog, Ron Howard. This kid I grew up with lived in the older part of a town, had a dog, Smokey. And I remember when it bit Perry Bull one time. If you got too close to the dog, it would bite you. You know, these were formidable dogs. And my first dog, I think, was Beauregard, actually, a German Shepherd. I never really finished training him because I returned him to the breeder I bought him from, and he had so many health problems. But anyway, I started to train that dog, but Otis was a 50-50 dog. He was half Rottweiler and half Boxer, off real good parents, good quality dogs on both sides, but he was a 50-50 dog. And I trained him in the Kohler method. And this is way before any kind of YouTube popularity. And I wasn't selling anything, you know, I needed a guard dog, you know, no bullshit. I needed a dog. And as it turned out, our house was, as a matter of fact, we didn't even have locks on the doors in the house. And our house was one of the few houses that wasn't broken into. It was like a neighborhood out in a rural area, but it was they called it Shaky Acres or Felony Acres, whatever they used to call it. But anyway, so I've always needed real dogs. And like I said, I was getting back into dogs and training the guard dogs and checking out all of this YouTube stuff now that was available. And there was a lot of good stuff that I learned. But, you know, it came down to once I found Gypsy, man, I knew I had found the diamonds in the dunghill. And so much of that stuff is just junk. You know, it was funny listening to Professor Hog Dog, if you can think about this, in one of his videos where he's actually, of course, he's going to attack Gypsy Stratton when he's dead. post a positive video while he's living and then say his method is insufficient and mischaracterize it, you know, totally. Create a straw man and then kick the straw man type thing. But, you know, in that video, it's funny because Professor Hog Dog says, oh, yeah, so a dog with a threat display on the other side of a fence might take care of 90% of all problems, but that's not good enough. And I thought to myself, so this guy even admits that a threat display takes care of 90% of problems, yet in, I don't know, 15 years worth of YouTube videos, he doesn't have any demonstrations of that. He's got a bunch of dogs that he gives them a go word and they don't even engage or pay attention. This dude's got dogs that you have the bad guy whip it with a whip and it still doesn't go into defensive drive, you know. Incredible, man. Incredible that stuff actually flies as serious. But you know, that's the YouTube personality things. People get loyal to personalities, but it's not a pursuit of truth or anything like that. And so when I found Gypsy, man, I was like, oh shit, man, this is what I was looking for, you know? And basically where I'm at now is a lot of the Kohler method stuff, as far, not necessarily obedience, but, as far as working a dog in defensive drive, see, this was the big thing that I noticed was different about my dogs. And if you look at Professor Hog Dog's dogs, they're all in prey drive, man. Look, them dogs, as soon as they let go to the guy lets go to sleeve, they're playing with the sleeve, man. They're just not interested in the dude. And that's a problem for me because I want my dogs. I don't want them clinging to his sleeve, man. You know, that's not even it. But so, you know, and getting down to the brass tacks of what, you know, what a serious dog is and where does this stuff come from? It comes off of the worst neighborhoods in Chicago, man. You know, we've talked about it before, you know, literally Gypsy described Inglewood as a place where if you trip and fall, they'll steal the shoes off your feet, man. And, you know, that's not hyping it up very much. That's actually kind of true. You know, I've spent a lot of time in those places. So, you know, this wasn't about popularity contests and all that kind of shit. It was about how do you get from one place to another without getting jacked? And how do you keep people out of your house, right? For real, not no joke. And so that's where, you know, this method, and it actually came from a white guy named Plummer. And there's a lot of different people that have various P. Don Mega. He doesn't really do muzzle work or something, but kind of from a very similar lineage. But Gypsy had his own things that he was doing. So that's where this stuff comes from. It's not from, you know, some guy out in Mississippi. Don't know what a ghetto is. You know what I mean? These are not, or just, you see a lot of these guys, they're just real upper class type people. You wonder if they've ever even been in a fight in their life. You know, seriously, I'm not trying to be critical. And these are the, you know, protection dog experts. Amazing. And then tell other people to stay in their lane. Wow, that's really incredible. So, you know, that's what I was doing back in the day with training the dogs. And same thing here, man. It's, you know, I need real dogs. That's the bottom line. And, you know, I've told you this the story of, you know, I've actually had some criminals around my dogs, and they're afraid of my dogs. And these are people that aren't normally afraid of dogs, man, but they know my shit's real. And you guys know that too. I've done lots of videos of it. Now, Professor Hog Dog, a guy like that, his one and only test is, and he criticizes me because I've never shown a dog clinging off a sleeve while it's getting whooped. No, you're right. But that's not really what we're doing here, man. Matter of fact, I don't want my dog to cling to a sleeve while it's getting whooped. It's just, you know, you don't win fights like that, man. And that's what was interesting with the No Truth in Combat. And so much, you know, so much of the stuff that we watch is just absolutely no truth in combat whatsoever. And like I said, Professor Hog Dog channel just provides an incredible wealth of if you want to see, and that, you know, that's the purpose of fair use as well. Ripiato, the music guy, was talking about, you know, if you can't go to the original source material, you can't ever learn anything, you know. So using video clips and stuff like that to show, hey, look at this dog, watch this dog, this is exactly what I'm talking about. That's the point of fair use, so that that we can continue our knowledge base. Unfortunately, today, people try to silence other people through bogus copyright violation claims. But that's what it is. They're just trying to silence other people because they can't stand in the arena of ideas, you know. So for me, and you guys got to decide, you know. If you think that stuff is real, you go right ahead, man, and do that stuff. Yeah, the dog's really biting something, but that dog's not protecting a damn thing, man. That dog's hunting. It's not even in the right mindset to handle a situation. And I think that was, like I said, the biggest thing that I started to notice. It was different in my dogs than the vast majority of the YouTube dogs that I was seeing. And the difference was, is that, you know, 98 to 99% of the dogs that you see on YouTube are in prey drive. And in Professor Hog Dog's case, you can watch videos where they're whipping this dog, trying to get it into defensive drive, and it just won't go. It's been almost bred out of those dogs. That's the thing. When you breed constantly for in crazy, insane prey drive, you'll find yourself having a problem with defensive drive. I mean, it just one thing follows another there. And so that was the thing. I wasn't noticing the tenacity. And that's one of the things that Gypsy noticed in my dogs, was the tenacity that they had. And that's one of the things that clicked between me and him. And we were right on the same page, totally, right from the get-go. And I was a sponge. Any knowledge that he could impart to me, I soaked it all up, and for sure. Trudy's coming along very, very well. A very formidable dog. She's about 105 pounds now, maybe approaching a 110, which is about what I like for a dog. Luke is 125, but she's coming along real good, and we're actually going to be doing a lot of different stuff with the training where we're going to be focusing almost exclusively. We're still going to do the auto protection stuff, but and I want to make videos, and it'll be on the website here, where we're actually doing the fence work, working a dog through a fence, teaching it to guard and defend a space, and also in the home. And you don't see any of this shit. It's all, you know, whips cracking, dogs on the end of leads, no obedience, all that kind of stuff. But that old boy was a specialist, and his specialty was protection dogs, man. He was, as far as I'm concerned, man, he was an absolute genius when it came to protection dogs. Just incredible stuff, man, for sure. The diamonds with the in a dunghill. There's no doubt about it. And I'm glad I got some of them diamonds, man. I got me some diamonds. I got me some diamonds in this dunghill, man. And some people don't like it that I got them there diamonds. And so they try non-manly ways to hurt me. But we're all still here, and we're gonna be moving forward. And we're very grateful to the old man, huh? I'm so grateful to old Gypsy Stratton, for sure. It's a shame the digital imposter is actually using his name to file copyright violation claims. If you can believe that. Very sad to do that, but that's how people are these days. But yeah, man, you know, stay in your lane. Watch out for the, you know, everybody's an expert, except they ain't, you know. Very few experts. I don't claim to be an expert. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying I got damn good dogs, though, and I trained all of these dogs myself, man, and did a really good job. Very proud of my dogs, and very, very formidable dogs, dogs that stand up in battle. See, here's the thing. Working these dogs in defensive drive is why my dogs have an edge on a prey-driven dog. You know what? We're gonna do a separate podcast on that. We'll leave it right there. But we're gonna talk about the advantages of the defensive drive over prey drive. We'll do that in our next podcast. But we'll leave that for this one, man. It's the diamonds in the dunghill. I'm so glad I got me some of the diamonds, man, and share them with you guys over in the members area. All right, everybody, have a good night.